And that oh-so-memorable song by Vera Lynn was actually being performed by members of the As One Theatre Company at the Armed Forces event held on the Esplanade in Weymouth on Saturday, the 20th of June. And the song, well, that could have been heard on the radio during the Second World War, and it seemed appropriate for me to go to the Royal Signals stand there and hear a little about how radio and communications was used during wartime.
My name's Adam Forty. I'm the business manager of the Royal Signals Museum, and we're here to promote the museum and mostly our STEM activities.
And you've got quite an interesting display here. Some of it I actually recognise. Can we just wander around and see
what's what? So, really, this table explains the advance of electronic communications from pre-electronic signalling, so flags and lamps, to the invention of the first telegraph, which was William Cook and Charles Wheatstone in about 1837. The first military use was in the Crimean War, where they had then adopted Morse code, invented by Samuel Morse in about 37-38. So they used the single needle telegraph. So that's the first introduction of electronic communications on the battlefield, much to the distaste of the general commandant, who was General Simpson, who said they've ruined everything, on the basis that he used to have complete control, but all of a sudden he had interference coming from London and 200 messages a day. And it took about 24 hours for a message to get from the Crimea back to London. And of course, it was also the first time they embedded a war correspondent with the troops, who was William Russell, who was reporting back to the Times about conditions and a crazy cavalry charge against a Russian artillery position, both of which became famous subjects. One was, of course, the poem by Alfred Lord Tennyson, and the other was the introduction of Florence Nightingale to the Crimea.
Well, things have advanced, haven't they? So where we are now?
So here we're going to the 1890s. This is a working model of a spark transmitter, a Marconi spark transmitter, as he showed to the Army, the Navy and the Post Office on Salisbury Plain in about 1896. He used some science from Heinrich Hertz, who realised that lightning created some form of invisible ray that travelled through the air. We now call them radio frequencies. So he invented the spark transmitter, or spark gap transmitter, to be able to send sparks up an aerial and therefore a radio wave. Long spark, short spark, therefore Morse code. So the first ever wireless transmission.
Now, what have we got over here? We've got something that looks a little bit like a telephone.
So, yeah, prior, so 1830s, 1850s was the telegraph. The next step, of course, was the telephone in 1876 with Alexander Graham Bell. This is actually a genuine Boer War field telephone, so the first use of a field telephone in the field. Well, yeah, field telephone rather than a telegraph. And then wireless. So on this table, you have got three objects that change the world.
Fascinating. Now, over here, we've got some signalling devices. Light is part of that, isn't it? The light signalling. Is that a Morse code and it flashes a light? Yep.
So what you've got here are just little fillers to fill in the picture. You've got the basic history behind me. Now you've got all sorts of other things that the Corps does. So obviously you can use visual signalling, still right up into the Second World War. You could use mirrors like the heliograph or lamps like the daylight signalling lamp. This is a Yagi antenna, so it's direction finding, which of course is another role of the Corps. So electronic warfare, signals intelligence are all other features of what the Corps does. This one is actually was the concept of which was created by a captain of the Corps. And is the B2 suitcase radio, as used by SOE agents. This is a genuine SOE suitcase radio from that time. And to my right, you'll see a suitcase on the floor, which is filled with sand to the weight of this one. And it's 32 pounds in weight. So only pick it up if you're fit and healthy and live. If you've got a dodgy back, don't go anywhere near it.
Oh, I've got some old BBC equipment and I can testify to its weight.
So then you've got this, which is another signalling device. And basically what this is a little pocket with some runners, a bit like two coloured scarves feeding out of it. And this is a way of dropping messages out of aircraft. Just don't put too heavy a weight in it, because if it falls on your head, it will hurt. And then, of course, we've got my friend over here, who is hidden beneath his parachute. And it is, of course, a pigeon, used both in the First and Second World War. We've got a pigeon called 2709, Pigeon 2709, who is a genuine First World War pigeon, who was given a message on the 3rd of October 1917 at Menin Gate during the Battle of Passchendaele. He had to get that message back to Brigade Headquarters. Should have taken him 25 minutes, but it took 21 hours because he was shot by a German sniper. But he still managed to get his message through, although sadly, on delivering that message, he passed away. And we still have him on display to this day.
And some pigeons, and indeed other animals, have got awards for their bravery.
They have the Dickin Medal, and in fact we have recently applied to the PDSA for retrospectively Pigeon 2709 to get that award, but sadly they decided they couldn't do it, despite the fact that no pigeon was awarded any award in the First World War, because the Dickin Medal didn't come in, I think, till the 1940s. But they have been looking at retrospectively, but they've decided that actually, because Warrior the Warhorse got a Dickin Medal, that covers the First World War, which is very sad, because I think pigeons are severely underlooked, and particularly in the First World War.
Well, all you pigeon fanciers, get on the phone to the War Office.
Yes, please, and the PDSA.
I think if I had to choose a pigeon or a mobile phone, I'd choose the pigeon. Now, next is a very interesting interview about helping veterans, soldiers who've come back from conflict maybe, or you know, something else has happened to them in their lives. There's a place called the Veterans Hub.
My name is Sandra and I volunteer at the local Veterans Hub. We started in 2017, just from a little room, basically, of men having tea, coffee and just chatting. And then we grew and grew. We have a welfare room. We also have a pre-love shop and we also have a cafe. And we have gardening. We do knit and natter. We do groups. We have quiet rooms. We have two therapy rooms where physio takes place. Anything, you name it, we'll probably do it. Or we'll probably know somebody who does it. So if there are any veterans or any family struggling, we will do our best.
How's it funded?
It's a CIC, so everything we make goes back into it.
So what's the benefit for the people who do come on down?
Don't know, Pete, what's the benefit of you coming down?
My name's Pete, yeah, I've been going down the Veterans Hub since November. And since I've been down there, I've made a new family altogether, and I'm more settled now than what I have been for donkey's years.
So it's really helped you?
It has fantastically helped me. It's been a life-saving point.
Okay, yeah, I was going to say, what's it done for you? But life-saving seems pretty important, yeah, doesn't it? What else does it do?
They arrange help for you if you need to go to hospital and medicals and stuff like that. If you're having bad days and you're off for a few days, you're not there for a few days, there'll be somebody in touch with you or somebody coming around to say, are you all right?
So you approve?
I would highly recommend anybody go there for the whole community, not just for veterans. We welcome kids, we welcome dogs, pets, whatever you want to bring. Come down, have a look, have a chat, have a cuppa, and you'll have a good laugh.
And you've got a nice hat on too.
Oh, thank you very much. Yes, these are available at the Hub shop, along with t-shirts and hats and other merchandise. We've got key rings, ashtrays, coasters, plaques with any regimental insignia that you wish on it. We can get it done.
And the Veterans Hub in Weymouth can be found on Portland Road. So if you need it, you're welcome to go along there. Or if you want to help, you can help too. So that's the place to go. We're all familiar with the poppy, the red poppy. But what about a giant poppy? Let's hear from someone who's doing something a little bit different, with many others helping, to remember the fallen.
I'm Councillor Carol Cronshaw from West Monkton Parish Council, and I'm here today to raise funds to build a pavilion to house the Poppy of Honour permanently in the country park.
And we've got a rather large poppy beside us here, haven't we? Tell me about that.
So this poppy was the brainchild of a gentleman called Terry Williams, who lived in Somerset, and it holds 1,117,635 individual poppies. But the most amazing thing about this is that every single poppy has been handwritten with the name and rank of service personnel that died in World War One.
That's very poignant, isn't it?
Extremely poignant. It's important that we don't forget the fallen. So once we've raised sufficient funds to build the pavilion, we will house it at Maidenbrook Country Park. And the whole idea of the country park is to have a memorial walk in the West Country to have a living memory of those that have fallen. So we have a World War II memorial, we have a Falklands memorial, we have a Wren's tree and plaque. And at the top of the hill will be the Poppy of Honour in all its splendour.
And we're definitely not going to forget them, are we?
Definitely not going to forget them. And we hope that lots of people will come along, bring a picnic, bring their dogs, bring their children, enjoy the beauty of the country park and visit all the memorials that we have on offer for them.
Just remind the listeners where they've got to go and how to get there.
So this is Maidenbrook Country Park. It's near Monkton Heathfield, Taunton in Somerset.
So if you fancy a day out, well, why not make it worthwhile and go and see that giant poppy? It means more than words can say. Well, let's go back to where we started and hear all about the As One Theatre Company.
My name's Jane McKell. I'm artistic director and performer. And this is Nicole Faraday. I'm a local actress and singer, and I'm working with Jane on her amazing project, A String of Pearls.
So tell me, what have you been up to?
Well, we've gathered the stories again, because every time we do it, we try and make it relevant to the place that we're actually performing it in. So because we were on the Esplanade today in Weymouth for the Armed Forces weekend, we chose lots of stories that were very, very pertinent to this area, to Weymouth. And of course, Weymouth and Portland were, anyway, on the front line at the beginning of the war and had 500 bombs dropped on it, so it's quite significant. And of course, I think importantly, we are we're the main embarkation point for the American GIs who went over and mostly got slaughtered on those beaches in Normandy. So it's a bit of a combination of commemoration and celebration.
Yeah. So what did you do?
What did I do? So I was helping Jane tell these stories. She spent years collating local people's stories of memories of the war, their memories from going from childhood up to adults, up to people that were actually fighting in the war. And we were telling their stories, really, and they were all local, either local interest stories or local people's memories of the wartime. And it encompassed, as Jane said, the Americans being based here during the war and embarkated, going off to Normandy to fight from the beaches from here. And yeah, just lots of local people's stories and bringing them to life, really.
And you've got a wonderful evocative voice for the World War II, so you know, thank you, Nicole.
Thank you. Yes, I sang a few Vera Lynn songs as well.
I was going to mention singing. That yes, indeed, yes, yeah. I might have captured you singing one.
Oh, that's good to know.
Well, a bit of one anyway.
Oh, lovely.
Unless you want to do more now.
We'll meet again, don't know when, don't know when.
I'm sure. Yeah, okay.